Well, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF, and it was on this date in 1945 in a pre-recorded radio address, Japan's Emperor Hirohito announced that his country had accepted terms of surrender for ending World War II. And I thought I might just come on and talk a little bit about the history of Japan's surrender, because Japan was an incredibly tenacious enemy in World War II, and a lot of interesting things about what led up to their eventual surrender. But in the summer of 1945, Japan's surrender was really a foregone conclusion in the minds of most of its enemies. They were not on the winning side of that battle. But the thing about the culture of Japan is that they just do not surrender. In a regular military engagement, you might expect about 40% of a force to surrender when things are looking bad. For the Japanese, that number is about 2%. In World War II, their surrender numbers were about 2% of their forces would surrender when things were going really bad. So,
and it's really a culture of pride in yourself, and you don't want to shame yourself, and you certainly do not want to shame your nation.
Exactly. And
as you mentioned, tenacious. That's a very good way to describe the Japanese mindset in World War II.
Absolutely. And it's worth mentioning that when we did drop the first nuclear bomb on them, they didn't surrender. Like, they thought that we could just keep dropping those on them, and they didn't surrender. They thought, well, we can handle this. It was a number of other factors that eventually, forced them to surrender. But yeah, like I was saying, they're an incredibly tenacious group, and we had taken Okinawa at this point, but we still had to plan a mainland invasion of Japan, which would have been just an incredibly devastating, very, very bloody conflict. The estimations at the time were saying that it would have been about 10 times worse than Normandy was trying to storm Japan, because they would have been more prepared, more tenacious, and more willing to throw their citizens at the conflict. We talk about how bad dropping the nuke on them was, how devastating it was, but a mainland invasion probably would have destroyed their country altogether. Like, there probably would not be a Japan today if we had been forced to do a mainland invasion through the combined efforts of America and the USSR, who were also pushing for a mainland invasion. They were, fun fact, training 14-year-old girls to fight with pointed sticks. Just to speak to the culture of their country, they were ready to fight to the last man. It was not
or little girl.
Yes, it was not a minor issue that they agreed to our terms of surrender. But like I said, after we had dropped the first nuke on them, that killed about 80,000 people and destroyed an entire city. Shortly after that, the USSR declared war on Japan. Soviet forces attacked them in Manchuria and overran a bunch of Japanese positions, and then started getting ready to attack the mainland. But that's when we dropped the atomic bomb on Nagasaki, and things were looking pretty bad for Japan at that point. But there were still military positions that at that point still did not want to surrender. Like, they have no hope of winning, but they just absolutely refused to surrender.
Yeah, and it's amazing in the years after World War II, because many of those Japanese soldiers were kind of tucked out, hid away in remote areas of Japan, and, you know, years later came out, did not know the war had ended, that there had been a Japanese surrender.
I've heard stories like that. Yeah. I'd have to look into it, but I've heard stories that there was, like, Japanese soldiers, like, surviving isolated on some of the islands that they fought in the South Pacific. And they get found years later by, like, American explorers, and they attack them because they think the war is still going on.
Right.
And that's wild to think about in general. But yeah, there was a lot of things that sort of led up to that Japanese surrender. There was eventually a coup, and they burned down a governor's mansion, and just a number of other things that I won't get too much into here. It's just sort of some not boring, but it's just some minutia of what eventually led up to their surrender. They accepted all terms just because they really didn't have any choice but to do whatever America said at that point, because like I said, they did, we only had two nuclear bombs, but they thought, I'm sorry, atomic bombs, but
they didn't know that.
They thought that we could just keep dropping them, and that's what we wanted. We wanted them to think that we could just keep dropping them on them for forever, in theory.
And the truth is, we were probably more scared of those bombs than they were at the time.
Probably. And immediately after that, the Cold War and everything. So, yeah, it's probably like we were by no means. Especially like when we had just dealt with Germany and the V2s and the threat of long range missiles and stuff. So, yeah, we had a little bit of the pre-Cold War flu going on. So. Anyway, you are listening to the Mighty 690. This has been just a little bit about the surrender of Japan back in 1945. If you do like these little history segments that I do, you can listen to them online at our website at kggfradio.com. Just click on the community tab and go down to On Demand and then click on a history segment you like. I've done them on everything from the Battle at Cannae to the Korean War to just... segments about individuals like Ernest Hemingway. So you are listening to the Mighty 690. Stay tuned for a Fox News update at the top of the hour.